Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to a new week at Basic Gospel. Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the important issues you're facing in life right now. Toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. Welcome, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of the conversations that Jesus had with different people occurred in John chapter 10. It's just one of those great signature chapters in all of the Bible. And the Jews had gathered around him, and they asked him a question: how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. They wanted to know. I mean, Jesus had certainly caused a buzz, and he was the conversation topic around every water cooler every Monday morning. Who is this Jesus? Did you hear about the latest miracle? Is he the Messiah? And so when they saw him face to face, they said, tell us, are you really the one? And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And then he gives one of the most assuring statements in all the Word of God. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. It's a powerful, powerful statement, and I know so often we worry about our assurance of salvation. We wonder what God really thinks about us. And I think here in this particular statement, we find out that if we're truly the sheep of God, if we're a part of his family, a part of the people of God, we're going to hear the voice of Jesus. We're going to understand what the voice of Jesus is communicating to us, and we're going to follow, and we're going to become a disciple. And when we do, we're going to be placed in the very hands of Jesus Christ, and his hands are going to be placed in the very hands of God the Father, and no one can snatch us out of either one of those hands. That is a wonderful statement of assurance. If you're struggling today, I hope these words are an encouragement to you.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Again, plenty of open lines. Time on the clock, 844-322-2742.
Well, thank you, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I was sharing some good news with a friend of mine, and I was telling him about the new covenant, and he said they mentioned something about that at Easter, and I wonder if you could elaborate on that.
Well, we'd love to, Mary Jo. That's one of our favorite topics.
Yes.
on the broadcast is this new covenant that we live in today. When Jesus gathered his disciples for that Last Supper together, he raised the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. So the new covenant was something that was prophesied many years ago by the prophet Jeremiah. And it was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, in his shed blood. And here's a passage in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, in the case of a will or a covenant, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when someone has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. So this new covenant is like God's will for you, God's will for me, God's will for everybody. It was a will that expressed his desires for you, and his desire for you was to have eternal life. Well, that will could not go into effect until the one who made it died. And so Jesus came, and he died. And when he died, that new covenant, that new will took effect. It became effective the moment he said it is finished and he gave up his spirit and he breathed his last. The new covenant was in place at that very moment. Well, this new covenant, like I said, is a covenant of life. That's how Paul described it, as a covenant of life, the Spirit who gives life. And it's this eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's a life that we experience from the inside out, Mary Jo. So the old covenant, where were the Ten Commandments written?
On stone.
On stone, on tablets of stone. So they were external. In this new covenant, God writes his laws of faith, hope, and love on our hearts. And so it's internal. So it starts from the inside and moves its way out. In this new covenant, we have total assurance of salvation, just what I mentioned in reading John chapter 10, that we are God's people and that can never change. The third aspect of the new covenant is that we really get to know God the Father through Jesus Christ in a personal way. Under the old covenant, there was really no personal heart knowledge of God. They just had information about God, but they really didn't know him personally. In this new covenant, we get to know him. And then the fourth aspect of this new covenant is that our sins and lawless deeds have been forgiven once and for all, and God remembers them no more. So that's the new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his death on the cross, and that's the covenant we live in today. We don't live in the old covenant. And of course, as Gentiles, we weren't really under that old covenant. We were just dead spiritually and needed life. So when we get this gospel message, we're just ushered right into the new covenant. So we are new covenant believers, not old covenant believers. So this new covenant is a covenant of grace. It's an experience of Christ's very life living in and through us. And it's built upon the foundation of the forgiveness that we have in Christ. Does that make sense, Mary Jo?
Yes, it does. I just happened to mention it to this fellow, and I told him about the radio broadcast. So I was hoping he's listening, and he would also get a definition of it. But you said it very well.
Well, thank you, Mary Jo, and if your friend would like some information, some written information, we'd be glad to send it to him. Just tell him to give us a call, or we can send it to you, and you can pass it on.
Well, that'd be fun.
Okay. Well, let me put you on hold, and we will get you that information. Thanks for your call, Mary Jo.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you.
You hang on.
Yes. Open lines, again, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Glad you've joined us. We'd love for you to join us by phone at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and to Joyce listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joyce.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. God bless you all for your ministry. It's been very helpful to me as I've been listening day by day. And my question is, what is the basic mode for baptism? I know Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some churches do it that way. Some say they go back to Acts and you're baptized in the name of Jesus, because the Father is Jesus, the Son is Jesus, the Holy Spirit is Jesus, so they baptize in the name of Jesus. Another question, Pastor. Some say that you have to be baptized for the remission of sin. If you are not baptized, you cannot be saved, because you are not your sins are not pardoned until you're baptized. That's two questions. One more, Pastor.
Okay.
Some churches, too, are now not preaching about sin, not preaching about the blood, not preaching about the cross, because they say that is offensive and it causes a person to remain in a negative mind when you preach about sin. Jesus died and paid for your sins already. But the sins that we still commit now, the Holy Spirit convicts you of those sins, and unless you repent of them with a desire to turn from them, then you have no rest.
Yeah.
At least that's the way it happens to me. If I say something or do something that is not right, or speak to someone in a way that I should not, the Holy Spirit troubles me. And unless I go back to that person and say, sister, brother, you know, I'm sorry for my attitude with you or what I said, and please forgive me. And I ask the Lord to forgive me too. Then I get peace again to go on with the Lord. So I would like you to give me a correction on these things, please.
Okay, Joyce. Well, we certainly appreciate those questions. The first question on baptism, water baptism. Do we baptize somebody simply in the name of Jesus, or do we baptize someone in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? There is a movement of theology basically described as a oneness theology that Jesus is, I think as you mentioned, Jesus is God the Father, Jesus is God the Son, and Jesus is God the Holy Spirit. So there's no real Trinity, that everything is just resides in Jesus alone. I think that's not a true theology based on what the Word of God has to say, because the Word of God makes some clear distinctions between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the way that we've baptized people as far as water baptism is concerned, we have baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think there's some biblical support for that. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, he gives kind of the threefold work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit, that we've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. So we see the three each having an aspect of this salvation story that we experience through faith in Jesus. So I think being baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit seems to be the appropriate way based on what the Word of God has to say. But one thing that's important for us to know is that water baptism doesn't have any part in our salvation.
Amen.
We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. That's our salvation. So water baptism doesn't play a part. So what is water baptism? I think it's a celebration of what we've experienced in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big party for us believers to throw for somebody who has recently come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So it's a great way to celebrate what Christ has done in a person's life. Now,
it's like the inner work that the Holy Spirit does in the heart. Now, what is done in you, you are now showing it out to your relatives, to your friends, that this work is done in me, and I am now using the baptism to show what Christ has done in my life.
It can be a celebratory testimony of what Christ has accomplished in you. Now, as far as question number two, being baptized in water for the remission of sins, the way that reads in Acts 2:38, for example, Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not saying to be baptized in order to have remission of sins. He's saying be baptized in as much as there's remission of sins through the shed blood of Christ.
Yes.
A big difference.
Yes, Pastor.
A huge difference there. So in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's not tied up in any act that we do, that's all tied up in the act that he did in shedding his blood on the cross. And then the third question had to do, what was your third question?
No more to preach about sin, the blood, and the cross.
Well, we do live in a feel-good society. I mean, everybody wants to feel good about themselves. And, you know, for the gospel to be good news, we have to sometimes start with the bad news. The bad news is that I'm lost. I'm dead spiritually. The bad news is that I'm a sinner, that I'm, you know, separated from God. The bad news is that I'm under condemnation. That's all the bad news. But we can deliver that bad news because we know on the tail end of it is the good news, that Jesus Christ is the solution to all of those problems, that Jesus Christ has come to give us life. So those of us who are dead in sin cross over from death to life through faith in him. We can give the bad news that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God because Jesus Christ is the solution and the fact that he has taken away sins once and for all. And then, you know, we can give the bad news that we, you know, we're separated because, again, Jesus is the solution and the fact that he has reconciled us once and for all through his shed blood. So sometimes we have to start with the bad news in order for the good news to really find a place and a home in a person's life. We don't need to be afraid to share truth. Truth is what's going to set people free. If somebody doesn't know they need a Savior, they're never going to turn to Christ for salvation. If somebody doesn't know that they're dead in sin, they're never going to turn to Christ for life. If somebody doesn't know that they're guilty of sin, they're never going to turn to Christ for the forgiveness that he has through his shed blood. So I don't think we need to be afraid to teach what the Bible teaches about all of those subjects because there is a solution, and Jesus Christ is his name.
Amen, amen. I agree with everything you say, Pastor, because that has been my Christian standing on these things. But I just wanted to throw it out to another one who knows even more than I do, because I don't know much. I'm now learning myself. But what the Spirit placed in my heart concerning things, I normally would stand on it, because when I look in the Word, I could see it coming through from the Word of God, and that's where we stand, from the Word. And now that you have explained it even more plainly, I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, Joyce. Thanks so much for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And friends, if you live on the East Coast, particularly in the Washington area, you have a great opportunity to see and hear Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch as they celebrate the extravagant love of God in Network 220. That's the convention that's coming up April 24th through the 26th in Bristow, Virginia. All information can be found at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take the opportunity to go and meet the guys, because they'd love to meet you as well.
Well, thanks, Bob. We sure do hope many of our friends will join us for that event. It's going to be a wonderful event. Andrew and I have been talking quite a bit recently. There's some exciting things in the presentations and some of the workshops, and I think it's just going to be one of those great moments in a person's life to really be a catalyst for them to start growing in the grace of God. So come join us.
Yeah, Network 220 Convention, April 24th through the 26th. Get the information and register if you can at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk with Tony listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Bob. How you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I read the Bible twice, and I know it's a well of information that is an inexhaustible word. And anyway, I was reading, you know, in the book of Luke, how Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. And he was healing on the Sabbath, and it was ticking off the religious leaders. And then when he was healing the man who had the withered hand in the temple, they were dying to get him. And when he says, is it proper to do good or bad on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy? And they all looked at him without, and then he healed the man, right? So I'm thinking to myself, it's like Roadrunner. You know Roadrunner, the cartoon, when the fox wants to kill him?
Yes.
You know, he just continues. I find a little bit of humor in this. And I just wanted to throw that out. But anyway, in Hebrews 9:27, it says that it is appointed unto man once to die. Right?
Yes.
There's an appointment that we're not going to, there's no way that we can actually cancel that or whatever. But then why does it say in Ecclesiastes 7:17, it says, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? And words, do not be over wicked and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? So if it's already set, why is it say before?
Well, it's a couple of different points that are being made. The writer of Hebrews is trying to make the point that our judgment has already been taken in Christ Jesus. Just it's been destined for man to die once, and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. So the writer of Hebrews is really saying, listen, you're going to die, you're going to face judgment. That's true of every single person. Well, Jesus Christ has already taken that judgment for us, and so we can face death with a sense of confidence, knowing that we are right in God's sight, not because of anything that we have done or anything that we haven't done, but because of the work of Jesus, because he shed his blood once and for all to take away our sins once and for all. So that's the point of this particular statement in Hebrews. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer is basically saying that apart from God, life is meaningless. I mean, the end of the righteous and the end of the wicked is exactly the same. Both die, right? So he's saying there's meaninglessness in all of that unless we find our meaning in God. And that's the whole point of the book of Ecclesiastes. So when he's saying do not be over righteous, you know, he's really talking about kind of religious good works and those sort of things. And then he's saying don't be over wicked, don't be overly evil. He's just saying, you know, why bother taking a really symbolic position at one end or the other? Why not just find safety in the middle ground? That's what he's saying. Why not just find safety in the middle ground? If you become a rebel to one end or the other, that might lead to death earlier. I mean, that's what he's saying. And what meaning would that be?
Yeah.
Because you're dead. That's all he's saying. There's no meaning there.
All right. So in other words, when death does come, I don't have to panic because it's going to be useless.
You don't have to panic because Jesus has already overcome death. I mean,
amen.
God has already demonstrated his power over death. So you don't have to fear death at all. You don't have to be anxious about it at all. Your sins have been taken away once and for all, Tony. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
So rest in that, knowing that you are right in the sight of God because of the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf.
Amen. And like I said, I find humor in the scripture sometimes.
There's a lot of it there. Well, Tony, let me put you on hold. We'll send you a wonderful book called Love Is. You hang on, okay?
And friends, if you've given to support Basic Gospel, you've done a lot more than just support a radio broadcast. Your gifts through this ministry make you a part of every life that is touched by hearing the gospel message on the air and online through Basic Gospel. And what a blessing to know that you've had a part in making a permanent change in someone's life. With that in mind, we ask you to continue to support and be a part of this work of connecting people with the love of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't yet become a part of the ongoing support of the message of God's love and grace through Basic Gospel, why, we ask you to join with us now, today if you can. You'll find an online support link in the menu at basicgospel.net. Or during Central Time office hours, you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's 844-41-BASIC. We welcome your partnership with us and your prayers and your gifts to Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis, saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition, Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.